With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. The late poet, Langston Hughes.
I'm a Negro, black as the night is black. Black like the depths of my Africa.
Langston Hughes was a young man who came out of Joplin, Missouri, and then Lawrence, Kansas, and Cleveland, Ohio, and decided that he was going to be a poet. He was going to live by his writing, and he was going to write about black people in the main.
That's Arnold Rampersad, author of the first of what will be a two-volume study of Langston Hughes.
Mama may have.
Late into the Harlem night, the mature Langston Hughes would spin his favorite record by Billie Holiday.
But God bless the child that's got his own.
Arnold Rampersad says that Langston Hughes did get his own, but at the price of a nomadic existence, a furtive sexuality, and a death without a wife, a known lover, or a child. Hughes' road as an artist was paved by the white writer and critic Carl Van Vechten, who, about 1924, became interested in what was to become known as the Harlem Renaissance.
Van Vechten had connections at the young publishing firm of Alfred A. Knopf, and he used those connections and other connections to help Hughes.
Thus leading to the publication of Langston Hughes' first book of poems, The Weary Blues.
Down on Lenox Avenue the other night, by the pale, dull pallor of an old gas light, he did a lazy sway. He did a lazy sway to the tune of those weary blues.
Arnold Rampersad's meticulous biography is called The Life of Langston Hughes, 1902 to 1941, now in paperback from Oxford University Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
Out of love, no regrets, though the goodness be wasted forever. Out of love, no regrets, though the return be never.
The late poet Langston Hughes, who was beckoned from the Midwest by the glittering lights of Harlem and the salt of the sea. Arnold Rampersad, author of The Life of Langston Hughes, 1902 to 1941, says the young poet was working as a busboy in a Washington hotel when Vachel Lindsay, a famous poet of the day, walked in.
Hughes saw him in the dining room and decided to see what he could do to make himself known to this famous poet. So he scribbled down three of his best poems and put them down in front of Vachel Lindsay's place.
At a reading that night, Vachel Lindsay announced that he had just discovered a great Negro busboy poet and that he was going to champion him. In a spoken arts recording, Langston Hughes himself told what happened when he came to work the next day and encountered a crowd of reporters.
And they said, "You've been discovered." And I said, "What?" And they said, "Why, don't you know Vachel Lindsay read your poems last night to a very distinguished audience of congressmen and the literary people, and he says that you're a fine poet. He said you're discovered, and we want to write about you."
Hughes had an interest in publicity. He knew that if his career was to advance, he would have to help it as much as he could.
Arnold Rampersad, the author of The Life of Langston Hughes, Volume 1, 1902 to 1941, now a paperback from Oxford University Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
Rest at pale evening, a tall, slim tree. Night coming tenderly, black. Like me.
The late poet Langston Hughes on a spoken arts recording. In the late 1920s, Hughes found a major supporter in an elderly white woman named Charlotte Mason, who liked to be called Godmother. Arnold Rampersad, who has completed the first of a two-volume biography of Hughes, says Mason put the poet on an allowance.
She saw Hughes at one point as the great coming poet of the African peoples. When she broke with him, as she did rather violently, it was really a catastrophic moment for him.
Later, as Hughes became more and more radicalized politically, the quality of his art suffered.
In the 1930s, he was a radical socialist poet. Many people called into question the right of such pieces to be called poetry at all.
Hughes also came under criticism for his use of black dialect in his poetry.
"I ain't been good. I ain't been clean. I've been evil, lowdown, mean. Fire, fire, Lord. Fire gonna burn my soul."
Many black critics believe that it was simply not doing the race a service for a major black poet to be using black dialect, because it seemed to them to perpetuate the notion that blacks were illiterate.
Langston Hughes used words to combat social injustice and to express the inherent dignity of his race. Arnold Rampersad is the author of The Life of Langston Hughes, now a paperback from Oxford University Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.
This is Langston Hughes. Many of my poems are poems about the Negro people in relation to American democracy.
Langston Hughes, who died in 1967, was a traveler and, as a black, suffered the indignity of racial discrimination common in the U.S. during his lifetime. Biographer Arnold Rampersad says, however, Hughes rarely confronted the discrimination head-on.
Hughes saw himself primarily as a poet. He must have told himself that he would respond to these incidents eventually in works of art.
"They hit me in the head and knocked me down. Then they kicked me on the ground. A Klansman said, Nigger, look me in the face and tell me you believe in the great white race.
While Langston Hughes became a political radical in the 1930s, he was in good company.
It was the era of the Depression. Virtually every important American writer felt some kind of affinity to the left and to the far left.
Southern gentle lady, do not swoon. They've just hung a black man in the dark of the moon. They've hung a black man to a roadside tree in the dark of the moon for the world to see how Dixie protects its white womanhood. Southern gentle lady, be good. Be good.
Langston Hughes recorded his work for Spoken Arts of New Rochelle, New York. An impressive work about the great poet is the first of a two-volume biography by Arnold Rampersad, The Life of Langston Hughes, now a paperback from Oxford University Press. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim. While Langston Hughes wrote two volumes of autobiography during his lifetime, both reissued by Thunder's Mouth Press of New York, writer and scholar Arnold Rampersad felt there was more to learn about the great black poet.
It was important to me to get past the fictionalization that Hughes does in his autobiographies to get at the basic facts. He changes names, he changes dates.
Thus, the first of what will be two volumes of The Life of Langston Hughes, published by Oxford University Press. Arnold Rampersad says there is a timeless quality to many of Hughes' poems.
The Negro Speaks of Rivers is a major poem by Hughes, and oddly enough, it was the first one published in a major magazine when Hughes was only 19 years of age.
I've known rivers, ancient, dusky rivers. My soul has grown deep like the rivers.
The poem Harlem, What Happens to a Dream Deferred, of course, is much anthologized.
What happens to a dream deferred? Does it dry up like a raisin in the sun? Or fester like a sore and then run?
Feet of Jesus reminds us the extent to which Hughes, who was accused of being irreligious, how much he admired the spirit that led people to the church.
At the feet of Jesus, at your feet I stand. Oh, my precious Jesus, please reach out your hand.
Mama, may I have?
Despite the awards, the honors, the adulation, there remains an image of Langston Hughes sitting in a lonely room in Harlem playing Billie Holiday over and over.
That's got his own.
With BookBeat, I'm Don Swaim.